your house that we can come into, God. We thank you, Lord, for this body of believers that we can give you glory and honor, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Happy day, I'll never be the same.
glad you've been changed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We bless your name, Jesus. You're worthy, Father.
My sins.
Come on, aren't you glad? Hallelujah.
Nothing else will do. I just want. Hallelujah. Let's just lift up our hands and give God some praise tonight. Let's just enter into His presence. Father, we praise You. We worship You, God. We just want to thank You, Father, for Your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Have Your way. Thank You, Lord Jesus, Father, for Your mercy and Your grace, Lord. Thank You, Father, Lord Jesus, that no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what's going on, Father, thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are with us always, Lord. Thank You, Father, Lord Jesus. You said for us to cast our cares on You, Father, because You care for us, God. So we just want to thank You tonight, Lord. We praise You, Lord. We thank You, Father, Lord Jesus, that we can bring our worries and our cares to You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that we don't have to have fear, Father. We don't have to be worried about things, Lord. Thank You, Father, Lord Jesus, that You've given us power and authority over all of the enemies, Lord. And I just want to thank You, Father, and I praise You, Lord, tonight for Your goodness, Your grace, and Your mercy. We love You, God. Thank You, Jesus. You gave up Your life so we could have eternal life, Lord. And we just want to honor You tonight with our worship and our praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome tonight to New Generation Church. Are y'all blessed? Amen. That's what we like to hear. Amen. Go ahead, fellowship, shake some hands. Let someone else know how blessed you are tonight. Amen. Well, if you're finished fellowshipping, you can go ahead and be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. You know, it's important for us to no matter where we're at and whatever we're doing, that we need to be a witness for other people.
Yes, we do.
And just tonight, just a few minutes ago, I got a message that was just informing us that one of our students, that their father had committed suicide this evening. Wow. So people are going through things. They have anxiety, they have issues, they have problems, and it's all the enemy.
Yes, amen.
And it doesn't affect just that person, it affects their whole family.
Yeah.
So now that's something that has, you know, that's going to have to they're going to have to go through.
Yeah.
We need to be praying for our country.
Yes,
we need
to
be praying for every single person.
Yes.
Amen. And we need to show some grace and mercy.
Yes.
Because you don't know what they're going through.
Yeah.
Amen. And we need to show them Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, so on that note, just keep them in your prayers, and let's go ahead and get ready for tithes and offerings tonight. Amen. Giving time.
Amen.
There's offering envelopes in the back of your seat, so you can fill those out, or you can text to give at 606-654-3003. However you want to do is fine. Let's all stand to our feet. Get ready to give, because God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Luke 6:38 says that if we give, it shall be given unto us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen.
Woo!
Woo, you all got it tonight.
Yeah.
All right, let's lift them up. Father, we praise You, God. We thank You, Father, Lord, we can come together tonight and just worship and praise You, Lord. Thank You, Father, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to give, to be blessed and be a blessing. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that for every person in here, Lord, whatever their needs are, You meet their needs, Lord. Hundredfold blessings in their lives, Lord. Thank You, Father, Lord Jesus, whatever the enemy has stole from them, he has to return it seven times. Amen. We just want to thank You, Father, for tonight for Your blessings, Lord. And thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your mercy and Your grace always, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank You that You receive the glory for this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Shout tonight, Jesus! Amen. We got to tell the devil where to go and let him know Jesus is our Lord. Amen. All right, you all can go ahead and be seated. So I'm hearing some good things, and I'm seeing some good things. We already have people who have already brought in Chromebook cases and earbuds, so that's awesome. I think we already have almost, I think I saw 30-some orders of earbuds have already been purchased, so like we only needed like 50 packs. So that's great. That's good news. And then we had about 20 Chromebook cases so far. So we're getting there. We need 250 Chromebook cases. I did hear that we encountered a little problem, though, that it would only let you order like three at a time. And when I just went in there and checked, Amazon's quirky like that because it depends on who your distributor is and who you get them from. But like they don't even have 250 of that one Chromebook case when I tried to order in bulk just to see. So what I did was I went back in and edited the list a little bit, and I added some other options for you on cases. So I checked the bulk quantity before I added it to the list, so each one of them had at least 50 in bulk. So I just added like 5 different ones. So you can order from those in bulk that way, and you can order more than three, hopefully, because it stopped you because they ran out of Chromebook cases from that distributor. Does that make sense to you all? So just you can choose which one you want to order from. It's fine. There's some options there, and I tried to keep them all around $8 or $9 through there. If you see another one that you'd rather buy that's around the same price or whatever, that's fine too, as long as it's the same inches because they all are about the same size. So, but that's great. We're seeing those come in. Keep ordering those. We have until the end of November to get that done. Sorry, can you pull that up? The Joy Fest. September 21st is also our fall harvest dinner, so don't forget about that. It's also Pastor Appreciation Day, so make sure that you come prepared that day to eat and praise and worship the Lord together. We're going to celebrate our pastors, so that'll be that day. You're going to bring side items, all right? So Joy Fest, I think, should be next on there. No? Not there? Daryl's fired. Where's he at? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, we do have fish fry, though. That's going to be October the 18th, okay? So make sure you come out and be a part of that. We're going to have fun that night, too, and we're going to eat fish, and we're going to fellowship, and we're going to play games. So no Joy Fest, though, right? Still no Joy Fest? Okay, all right. You'll get that code on Sunday, okay? So that'll be fine. All right, let's all stand to our feet. Y'all need to give Jesus another shout tonight. Hallelujah! Amen! Well, look at that. So now it's up there. So there's your QR code if you want to scan it so you can order from there. It'll take you directly to Amazon if you have the app, and you can order that way. All right, let's go ahead and dismiss our kids and our teachers, and let's welcome Pastor tonight as he brings us the word.
Joy Fest was just a little slow because joy cometh in the morning, right? So we had to wait over the night. Praise God. All right, you all ready to get into the word tonight? God is good all the time. All the time God is good, and His Word is what changes our lives, right? So let's pray. We're going to look at it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless You and praise You for Your Word. Thank You, Father God, Lord, that when we get that Word in our heart, Father, ain't nothing can shake us, ain't nothing can change us, ain't nothing can touch us, because we have that Word that destroys all the yokes of the devil because of the anointing that's upon it. So we just thank You tonight for this Word, Lord. We receive it. We thank You, Lord, for the anointing to be able to minister it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Go ahead, if you would, and open up your Bibles with me. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 here. Ephesians 6:10. Here Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." See, when you think you can't do it, you've got the Lord on your side. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, with your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." How many saints? For all saints. When we're praying, folks, we need to be praying for everybody. Yeah, but now there's some folks I don't like, Pastor, so I'm not going to pray for them. No, Jesus said, pray for your enemy. Bless your enemy. That's hard to do, I know, but see, what you're doing is bringing blessing on your life when you do that. But I want you to just look now, as Paul's writing here, and he's given us several things in this, but one of the things, and the first thing we need to understand, is that your wrestle is not with people. It's with the spirits that's behind that. A lot of times, you know, we get mad at people or whatever, and of course, you know, they allow the enemy to influence them. But it's the spirit behind that. It's not necessarily the person. You have to understand that sometimes, that even though it's coming through that person, behind it, there's a spirit there, and you have to understand. Now, here's the thing about that, is you can deal with that spirit. Did you hear me? You can't control the human spirit. You don't have any authority over somebody's human spirit. But when it comes to demonic spirit or spirits that the enemy is trying to influence somebody with, then you have some control over that. Now, you've got to understand when I'm talking about that, you can't control that spirit in their life, but you can control what it does to you. You can bind that thing off of you, and you can stop it from bothering you, okay? So he tells us here that it's not just flesh and blood, but there's a spirit there. And then I like what he goes on, and he says that our first line of defense is to stand in the Lord. Notice that? "And having done all to stand, stand therefore." See, you've got to understand, church, that if you don't make a stand against the devil, he'll just run over you. He'll bully you. He'll put you in fear. He'll cause you to run. Right? Do you remember David when he went up against Goliath? David was the only one that was willing to make a stand. You remember that? He took his stand and he stood against Goliath in the Lord. Now, here's the thing. If any of the other soldiers that were there, this is what you can take it how you want to, but I believe if any of the other Israelites, soldiers, would have stood up and said, "You know what? My God is with me, and I'm going to go out against that giant, and I'm going to whip him," I believe he could have done it. Why? Because David, when he went against that giant, David, you know, the Bible describes him as small, ruddy, you know, and all that. And that when he went out there, he said, "You're coming at me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord." See, and I want you to notice something else about David there, too. Having done all to stand therefore. David went and he took a stand with what he knew he had. Remember when Saul tried to put his armor on him and all that stuff? And he said, I've never done it. I've not fought in it. I've not proved this. But what I got, I've proven. And it was a sling. And he stopped and picked up those smooth stones out of the brook. Think about that. A slingshot over anything else. Why? Because he would plan on the battle being his. He was planning on making a stand for the Lord, and he knew the Lord would be right there with him. God equipped David with what he needed to bring down the giant. Can I tell you something? We just read there, God has equipped you and I with what we need to come up against our enemies. Come on now. But here's the thing, folks. You have to put them on. Come on now. He's given you and told you who your enemy was, and he's told you here's the armor that you put on, but you've got to be willing to put that on and then take a stand in it, right? Now, notice here that as Paul is calling off the things that we have, notice that he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all. Now, that just hit me as I studied this out, because I'd never really seen this. I mean, I've seen above all and read that. But here's what the Lord spoke to me. He said, notice that I said above all the shield of faith before I said the sword of the Spirit. What? I kind of caught me for a minute, which is the Word of God, right? Here's what the Lord spoke to me. He says, there's no point in you having the sword of the Spirit if you don't have faith to operate in it. And I went, wow. I mean, you know, it's a simple truth. I mean, I'm kind of simple sometimes, but that's what Paul was saying. Above all, have the shield of faith, and then you can take the sword of the Spirit. See, the shield of faith, it's going to catch what's coming at you. Right? Quenches all the fiery darts of the enemy. One of the translations says flaming missiles. But here's the thing. If I don't have faith to take the Word of God and use the Word of God and stand on the Word of God, then the Word of God's not going to do me any good without faith. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right? So I've got to have the faith to be able to stand. You cannot wield your sword of the Spirit effectively without having faith. Come on. Listen. Remember the sons of Sceva? They tried to cast out a demon just like Paul did. Right? They said the same thing Paul said. But there was a difference. Paul knew the Lord and had faith in the Lord that it would come out. Them fellows just knew who Paul was. Come on now. And they'd seen Paul do it, and they were trying to mock. You can't mock somebody else's faith. You got to have faith for yourself. You got to be able to stand for yourself. Okay? So Paul is telling us, he said, listen, understand who you're fighting against and know who's on your side. Come on now. See, when you make this stand, we make that stand, and we got to know. I want to stand with people of faith. I don't know about you. When we take a stand, I want to stand there. I've told this story before, but one time we were fasting over, there was about three of us, and there was this lady that was sick, and we just decided we're going to have a fast over her, you know, her sickness, and we're just going to believe God, and you know, and it was three preachers, and so we're believing, you know, and I'm fasting, and I think I did a full fast, I'm pretty sure, I don't remember exactly, it's been many, many years ago, but we were standing, you know, and it came up time that it was over with. We fasted for so many days. I don't remember exactly how many. But I talked to one guy, and I said, well, I believe we've done well with our fast. And the guy said, well, he said, I just fasted a couple of days. And I thought, well, what the heck? It's not worth it. I thought to myself, I will never, ever, ever, ever stand with you again for something. Because you can't break that power of agreement, folks. You can't. When you agree to do something, you stay with it. You stay in faith no matter what. No matter what the outcome is, you stay in faith until either they recover or they die. You don't come off of that, you know. And so we were fasting and believing. And so that was one thing. I learned a good lesson from that you got to be careful who you stand with. So know who's on your side, and then also realize who you're fighting against, that there's a spirit behind things. You got to realize that. You've heard of mean-spirited people. Well, some people, they're human spirit. They may be mean. But also, you got to understand that there are spirits that influence them, too. So, jump over here with me, then, in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 12 here. Here, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says this to him. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice here what Paul tells Timothy. First of all, here's what he says. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Notice that. But then he goes on and says, you know, stay with that fight of faith because you've confessed before witnesses that you're a faith person. You see that? Isn't that what he said? Look at it again there. He says, fight the good fight, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. If you're going to call yourself a person of faith, you better stand in faith because people are watching you. They see because, you know, you can say all you want to, but when they want to see your actions. And so that's why Paul tells him, he said, you got to stay in the fight. You've been professing that Jesus is the Lord and that you're going to heaven. You've got to stay in that thing. You've got to keep confessing the same thing. And Timothy was a pastor. So God's using Paul to encourage Timothy to keep fighting the good fight until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Now, jump over here with me to Acts chapter 5. Let's look at something over here. Acts chapter 5. Let's look at verse 12 there. Acts 5, 12. It says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, thus no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick to the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, jealousy, my Bible reads in the sidelines, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered to the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the sin of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now, we went read a whole lot, but I wanted you to see all of what's going on. Notice this, they're doing good, and the religious folks are coming against them. I mean, you know, we've got things going on here, and where people are seeing signs and wonders and miracles happen, and they get jealous, and so they put them in prison. An angel comes and gets them out of the prison. Think about that. Remember Peter, when the angel came and got, woke him up and got him out and took off his bonds? Here's another case where the guards didn't have a clue what happened. Nobody knew what happened, but they were out of the jail, and the jails were still locked, and the people were still guarding empty cells. But they went right back to the temple because that's what the angel told them to do. And there they are. And they go get them again. They bring them back to the council. And they look at them once again. They said, didn't we tell you not to preach in this name anymore? I like what Peter says. Peter says, we ought to obey God rather than men. I'm going to tell you something, church. Men can say what they want to say and do what they want to do. But God's the one that's in charge. Come on now. We can't be influenced by people and what people say. We have to be influenced by what God says and what His Word says. And so here they are, you know. They said, you know, we ought to obey God instead of man, you know. But he's trying to, the enemy's trying to silence the Word of God here, but they refuse to be silent. They tried to get him to quit speaking the truth. Isn't that right? But at least Gamaliel had enough sense to say, you know, guys, if you keep doing this, you might end up fighting against God. You know? And man, see, that's something people sometimes don't understand, is when they come against you, they're coming against God. Because you're a son and a daughter of God. You're anointed of God. You're called for such a time as this. So when they come against you, they're coming against God. I have scriptural proof of that, even with Jesus on the way down to Damascus, right? Saul is persecuting Christians. He's putting them in jail. And when Saul meets Jesus, Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, why are you persecuting my saints, my kids, my children? No. He said, why are you persecuting me? God takes it personal when somebody comes against you. You've got to realize that, no? And so Gamaliel says, you know, yeah, we could end up be fighting against God. You best let him go. If it comes to nothing, it's nothing. But if not, then you better stay away. Could be fighting against God. But notice, they still had to beat them. And then they released them. But they went right back to teaching the Word of God. Right back to doing what they had just done, even though they was trying to silence them, trying to get them to shut up. Another similar instance, go with me to Acts chapter 4. Right there, you're in 5, just back up a chapter. Acts chapter 4. Now, understand that this is after Acts chapter 3. Remember where Peter and John comes into the temple there. You know, there's the crippled man laying at the gate. He's asking them, you know, for alms. And they say, silver and gold have I none, but such I have given unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he gets up, jumps, leaps, goes into the temple. And all of a sudden, big ruckus going on. And all of a sudden again now, you made them religious folks mad again because something happened in your church and it ain't happening in theirs. Come on now. See, the devil gets mad when you do have a move of God. He just gets mad and stirs up. Understand, folks, that these Pharisees and these folks, they were being influenced by the enemy. You got to realize that the devil was influencing them because, you know, when you got signs and wonders going on, you know who does signs and wonders, right? Only God. You know, I mean, we know that. And they had to know that. But because it wasn't done by their hands, they got jealous, opened up the door for the enemy, and they'd rather have killed Jesus than to admit that he could be of God. And that's the way folks are. They'd rather kill you than to admit you might be right. Right? But anyway, so here we go. Now, let's look here. They've healed this guy. We're going to pick it up in chapter 4. It says, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Think about this. 5,000 people that have believed, and they're putting those folks in jail for preaching. 5,000 people got saved. Okay? And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, now listen, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that is spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them to teach, or commanded them not to speak or speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Now notice this. Here we got a whole lot the same story, but it's just happening in a different way. Notice that they ask, by what power was this done? What happened? They just started preaching. Started telling them about Jesus. You see, understand that anything that gets done is going to be done through the name of Jesus. That's where the power comes from. We know that from the power of the Holy Ghost. And so, you know, and then as they preached and as they talked, they understood and they saw, they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took knowledge that they'd been with Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to talk much before you can find out whether or not somebody's been with Jesus or not. Just talk with them a little while. See what their attitude is. See what they say. See how they carry themselves. And you'll find out if they really have Jesus. Now, to stop the spread of the miracle, they commanded them. Notice that. They wanted them, you can't teach or you can't speak in this man's name anymore. Because we don't want this getting out. Isn't that what they're saying? We don't want people and nobody else to find out about this, you know, because it's a notable miracle. It's been done. So they tried to get them stopped. Once again, in verse 19, it says, but Peter and John answered, said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. You know what they just said? You think we'll listen to you, you think we'll listen to God. What do you think? Right? That's what they just said. You think we ought to listen to you, or should we listen to God? See, that ought to be the thing that every one of us ask every time we're confronted with something. Are we going to listen to what somebody else says, or are we going to listen to God? You judge that. Well, that's easy to judge, right? Come on, that's one of the duds. That's a no-brainer, right? It's a fact that when God says something, we do what God says, don't matter what nobody else says. Because if you do what God says, it's always going to turn out all right. Notice they ended up having to let them go because they couldn't find anything they'd done wrong. Amen. So see, here they wanted to punish them, but they had to let them go. Now, go with me over here to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. Let's pick it up at verse 8. Acts 21 and 8 says, and the next day we were that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, The will of the Lord be done. Now let's see what's happening here. Here they are. They're gathered together. They're having a Holy Ghost party. Philip's daughter's prophesying. They're having a big time. The prophet comes down, grabs Paul's girdle, and begins to prophesy. Man, you talk about putting a hindrance quickly on the Holy Ghost party, because now all of a sudden he's telling Paul he's going to be bound when he goes to Jerusalem, turned over to the Gentiles, and they're all freaking out. Luke's writing here. He says, you know, we were trying to persuade him not to go. But notice what Paul says. Paul says, I'm not only willing to be bound for the Lord Jesus, I'm willing to die. See, folks, we got to be sold out. We got to be sold. We can't be wishy-washy. We can't act like we're big people of faith. We can't act like we can do this, we're going to do that, and then when a little trouble comes, run. Come on now. I mean, you know, here's the problem. This is a man of God, a prophet, telling Paul, this is going to happen to you when you get to Jerusalem. His friends say, Paul, stay here, don't go. And Paul says, what are you doing? Why are you trying to break my heart about this thing for? I'm not only willing to go up and be bound, but I'm willing to die for the Lord. I'm going to do what God has told me to do. I love you guys, but I'm going to do what God says. See, once again, you know, you got to stay with the fight, folks. You can't let somebody that gets scared keep you from staying in the fight. You got to stay there. They were worried about Paul. They loved Paul. No doubt they didn't want to see anything happen to Paul. But at the same time, they were trying to persuade him not to do what God had told him to do. And so, see, that then becomes not your friend anymore. Come on now. See, because they're going on emotions. They're going in what's in their mind. And see, the devil paints pretty pictures. Probably Paul's friends there, Luke and the crowd, I mean, they were probably picturing Paul being killed up there. They were probably, you know, thinking the worst. Does the enemy not immediately cause you to think the worst? That's where the battle's at in the mind, folks. Paul says, just shut up. Don't break my heart about this thing. I'm willing to go up and be bound. I'm willing even to be put to death for the Lord if that's what needs to be happening. See, so we got to make up our mind. Are we in the fight or are we not in the fight? We're in this thing, folks. And we got to stay in this thing no matter what comes. No matter what the enemy throws at us. Come on, I'm going to tell you right now, there'll be good days and there'll be bad days. Come on, I like what my pastor says. There's up days and then there's getting up days. Come on. And we just got to continue to stay with it. Now listen, God says he'll take care of us. Now, got to understand, this Paul that he tied the girdle is the same Paul, okay, that in Acts chapter 27 there, verse 25, he says, in the very middle of a hurricane, on a ship that they've given up hope on, he comes out and he says, Sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Be of good cheer. Yeah, we're going to lose the ship. Yeah, we're going to be shipwrecked. But I've had the angel of the Lord, who's of my God that I serve. He came to me. He told me this. I believe God. Everybody's going to live. Everybody's going to be okay. Guess what? Everybody lived and everybody was okay. Now, some of them had to get on a board to get that to the shore. But they still made it to the shore. They lived. You see, God doesn't say how he's going to get you through it, but he'll get you through it. But you've got to stand. Remember the ones that were going to jump ship there? They're acting like they're throwing stuff off, and all they're doing is they're going to let down a lifeboat and get off that ship, try to get to the shore. Paul says if they do that, everybody dies. We either in this thing together or not, folks. We stand in a fight. And we always have to stand to fight. Facing the enemy, not running from the enemy. With the whole armor of God on us, knowing that our faith is going to get us through this thing because we do have the Word of God and we use it efficiently. Come on, we speak it out of our mouth. We've learned how to do that. So God says, I'll take care of it. I believe God. That's what Paul said. Numbers 23:19 says this, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? See, that's the God we serve, folks. And that's why we got to stay in the fight. If God said it, then it's settled. Used to be some bumper stickers. God said it, I believe it. Settled. No, if God said it, it's settled. Now, whether you believe it or not, it'll be up to you. It's just like he said, we're going to listen to you and listen to God. You judge. But I'm going to believe the Lord, aren't you? We're going to stand in this fight. We're not going to let circumstances or situations sway our faith away from God. We're going to stand strong and know that we're going to see the victory no matter what. Amen? Stand to your feet with me. Stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. Don't run. Don't quit. Don't surrender. Stay strong. Stand in the power of the Lord. Amen? Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you, bless you, and praise you, Father God, Lord, that we're in this fight together. And Lord, we know, Father, that you, Father, are right there, God. And many, many, many times, you fight the battle, and all we got to do is just stand. There's other times, Father, you expect us to do our part, but we always have to show up. We always have to be there to stand, Father God, to represent you and represent what you stand for in us. So we ask you now tonight, Father, help us to always remember that we're going to obey you instead of man. We're going to do what you say instead of what man says. And we're going to stand and believe your word, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, we'll always be overcomers. We'll always be victors because of the word of God in our lives. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anybody need us to pray with you tonight? Need us to lay hands on you? Got anything going on you want to pray about? If you don't need to, come on, just lift up your hands and just praise God just a little bit. As we